Fitness Challenge Podcast, your source for the best, most inspiring, and up-to-date information concerning all things related to MS fitness and health. This is Stephen Gloss, your host, an MS warrior, trainer, and fitness advocate. The MS Fitness Challenge provides guidance and support to people with MS and fitness professionals worldwide in an effort to educate and train them in the benefits of exercise, nutrition, and mindset. Together, we can win the battle against multiple sclerosis. This is episode number 17. Without further ado, let's get to introducing today's special guest. After an MS diagnosis back in 2000, our guest turned to yoga as her primary source of healing. It didn't take her long to realize the power and potential that yoga could have for people living with MS, so she decided to get certified as a yoga instructor and specialize in yoga for MS. She is now the director of her own yoga company, Taming the Walrus. With over 500 hours of advanced yoga training, she is a world leader in yoga for MS. The MS Fitness Challenge Podcast would like to introduce Veronique Gutierrez-Simmons to the show. It's an honor to speak with you today, Veronique.
Thank you so much. I'm really, really happy to talk to you. Thanks for inviting me on your podcast. Thanks a lot.
Definitely. So COVID-19, it's by and large, it's now a global pandemic. So I got to ask you, you're actually the first person I've got to speak with on this show that's living across the Atlantic Ocean. How has the virus impacted your life in Portugal?
I'm very fortunate to live in the south of Portugal, which has been less affected by COVID-19 than the north. So we have less cases here. We've been isolating for now about 6 or 7 weeks. So personally, it hasn't really affected me too much. I work as well. Besides yoga, I also work as a learning designer. So I work from home anyway. My husband started an organic farm business. So we are fine. It's just that it affected me in the sense that I cannot teach yoga anymore. And I can't go to the gym, and I can't go to the swimming pool, and I can't go and see my family in France. But in a way, I think we are very fortunate where we are.
I'm really happy to hear that. I can relate to you in a lot of ways about just the struggle of not being able to especially engage with community and especially go to the gym right now and train and go to the pool. It's all those things that I really miss.
I do miss my personal trainer because he pushes me really hard.
Right.
And even if I train on my own, you know, it's not the same. And also I broke my elbow like 3 weeks ago.
So oh no.
It's a bit harder. But, oh wow. Yeah, I know I'm looking forward to going back to the gym and when it's over.
Yeah, I can get the vibe from you that the gym's always been an important part of your life. So with that, what did your life look like before multiple sclerosis in the year 2000? Have you always been a yoga enthusiast?
No, I wasn't really into yoga at all, but I was big into the gym. When I was, so that was my early 30s, I was really, really into extreme things. You know, I thought life is, like there are boundaries, but you're meant to push them. So I thought I could work 8 hours a day. I could study 8 hours a day. I could go out partying. I could go to the gym. I thought I didn't need to sleep. I smoke 30 cigarettes a day,
wow.
Believe it or not. 30 Gauloise blonde. and I was also going to the gym. I was spending like 7 hours a week in the gym, despite the 30 cigarettes a day.
Just trying and to be superwoman.
yeah, I really thought I was. And but I was really big into step aerobics and spinning. I was completely addicted to spinning. I was playing squash as well. And actually, my first symptoms came when I was playing squash and also when I was doing step aerobics. And I knew I needed to kind of, it was too intense for me. So I thought, okay, everybody around me was trying yoga. And I thought, okay, I'll give it a try. But I thought I would hate it. Because for me, yoga was like, oh,
really slow,
sitting cross-legged. And I don't know, I really went and I tried, but I thought, I'm not going to like it. And I was so amazed because I went to Ashtanga class and I realized, oh my God, it's very challenging. You know, it can be really working hard on your balance, your strength, your flexibility. And I loved it. And I really, I was the first one surprised. I thought I'm never going to like it, but it's great. I love it.
That's so cool. So rewinding just a little bit, what were some of your symptoms back in 2000 when you were first diagnosed with MS? What impact did that diagnosis have on your life overall?
Yeah. So the first one, it happened when I was playing squash with my friend Virginie, and I just couldn't see the ball when it was in the left top corner. And I told her, I can't see the ball. She said, yeah, well, try another one, you know, because it was my bad side anyway. So she thought I was just making it up. And then I realized, oh, it's really weird colors. You know, everything was as if it was covered in gray. So there was no white. White was gray. Yellow was beige. Everything was kind of a shade darker. And also in the gym, when I was doing step aerobics, after a little while, I couldn't control my foot anymore. So I would slip. You know, the foot would slip to the side and I couldn't control it and I would fall. So I had these and I went to my doctor. I was living in Ireland at the time. And he said, well, it could be anything, something like a stuck nerve or something horrible like MS. But I didn't know anything about MS.
Right.
So I didn't really pay much attention. I thought, oh, maybe I should slow down a little bit. But I thought I was fine. But it kept coming back. And then I went one day to my family doctor in France who had really an intuition. He was amazing. And he told me, you know, given your age, the symptoms, it could be MS. And when he told me that, I thought, oh, I'm sure that's it. But I didn't know much about it. These were the first symptoms that I had. And they were not that bad, but they were coming back again and again. And weird sensations in my legs as well.
Right.
Just it felt like I couldn't feel my body the same way as I would before. And then the fatigue came.
Oh,
and the fatigue was really, really nasty. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure a lot of the listeners right now can definitely relate with you. I know that I can. And the fatigue, it's a highly underrated symptom of MS that people, especially outside of the MS community, can't really relate to or sometimes even take seriously. When we tell people that we're fatigued, it's kind of hard to really portray in words what that really feels like.
Yeah, I know it's one of the worst, I think, that I experienced. And also I had really bad, the MS hug.
Oh, yeah.
And I still have it. I mean, I seldom have MS symptoms now. Very, very seldom. But this is the one that pops up again sometimes.
So you got to try out yoga and you realized that it was something that you actually enjoyed. So when did you begin to realize that this type of exercise could be beneficial for anybody living with MS?
I actually realized it quite soon. Because, I mean, I tried Ashtanga, I tried Iyengar, I tried different types of yoga from the start. And then I noticed, actually, it makes me feel so much better physically, but also mentally.
Mm-hmm.
Because as I described, I was really kind of living a bit too intensely.
Right.
And I noticed how I could just relax a little bit more. And also, I don't know, I felt like being more healthy in a way by doing yoga, which is something that people don't often talk about. But for instance, I think it's because of yoga that I stopped smoking.
I've heard that's not an easy thing to do for anybody.
I know it. Yeah, especially when you smoke 30
a day.
But when I was, especially Ashtanga yoga, if I do Ashtanga yoga, I don't want to smoke. I don't want to drink alcohol. It feels like your body wants to be healthy in a way. But the main benefit at the beginning was the mental benefit of relaxing, being less anxious as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because the first years, like everybody, the first year of diagnosis are really, really stressful. We don't know what's going to happen. We worry a lot, which is normal. And I think yoga really helped me with that. And it helped to physically to get stronger as well.
Yeah, I think that's another underrated thing about yoga. I actually just started taking some virtual yoga classes with my wife through the Les Mills training program.
Right.
And I only about, I'd say, 3 weeks in now, and I never realized how challenging, I mean, no. I'm not flexible to begin with, but just how strong you can actually become by doing yoga on a regular basis.
Yeah. The thing is, yoga, there are so many different types, and people, you know, because it's very confusing, so many different styles, you get lost and you don't know. And there are some yoga types that are very, very quiet and relaxing, where you don't challenge yourself physically. Mm-hmm. But there are also others that are absolutely amazing. And I mean, there are some yoga teachers who can master their body. It's like absolutely amazing.
So it's like a work of art.
I know. It's like a super dance. And I've got one, I really like one Ashtanga teacher called David Svensson. He's American. And I went to a couple of his workshops in Europe. And when he moves, he's a feather. He's just a feather. He's like pure air in his body. He's beautiful the way he moves. And many, many teachers can do that. I can't. I mean, I'm not a feather when I move in yoga. But
how then did you become certified as a yoga instructor, and how are you able to do advanced research and training in yoga as therapy for MS?
So because I noticed how good it was for me to do yoga, I thought, actually, I want to share that. Maybe not as my full-time work, but I want to be able to help other people with MS, because I was diagnosed 20 years ago, and 20 years ago, there was not that much for people with MS in terms of
resources,
medicines and resources. You know, basically, you were told you got MS and that's it. Good luck.
Right.
You know, so I thought at least I found something that works, that makes me feel better. I need to share it. So, and I was practicing a lot myself, and I thought, now I'm ready now to do a training. And I trained first in Vinyasa yoga because I still wanted some movement, some dance, some music. And I started to teach, and I wanted to go a little bit further to helping people with MS. And I first need to explain a little bit the different styles of yoga to make it clearer. But on the one hand, you can do yoga that is for everybody. Yeah, you just join a class and do yoga. Yeah, or you can you have also classes that are called maybe accessible yoga or adaptive yoga. So it's normal yoga class, but it's made accessible. It's adapted to people with different constraints. So it can be, if you've got balance issues, then maybe it will be a chair type of yoga class, or you use the walls. You adapt a normal yoga class to different requirements. So you might have people with MS, people with arthritis, different conditions. But I thought that I want to explore how you can use yoga to manage certain symptoms. So not to do just a general class that makes you feel better, that helps you to relax, but to really try and see how I can use yoga to, for instance, when I'm fatigued, or when I've got spasticity issues, or to improve balance. So really targeting, and that's yoga for MS or yoga therapy for MS. And I went to do my further training to India.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah, I chose this institute because it's called Paramanand Institute of Yoga Science and Research. And I like the fact that they actually welcome people from outside to come. And when you are training, you can actually have basically clients or patients and see how yoga can help with them. So it's very practical.
Right.
And that's what I liked. And then I talked to the teacher there and I said, I want to do some kind of mini research project just to find out how each pose can help further with different symptoms, based first on what I felt myself, because I'm the best kind of research lab I've got.
Right.
And also anybody with MS, any of my students kind of as well trying what works for them and what doesn't. So that's how I, that's what I decided to do.
So what was the result of that? Did you find that yoga for people with MS, does it have to be drastically different than the traditional forms of yoga most people are familiar with?
Yes and no. It depends. It depends where you are at and how fit you are. So I can join in normal classes and so on. I know as well my limits. And many people, if you don't have any issues with balance, you know, I think most classes will be fine. But if you really want to target specific symptoms, then you should try maybe yoga for MS or yoga therapy. It's really hard to say without, you know, like in general. I'd say the first thing is to talk to the teacher and to be honest with the teacher and say, listen, I've got these issues. Because, for instance, if you've got some balance issue, then there are some poses you shouldn't do.
That makes sense.
But the teacher can only know if you say, because there are many symptoms, they are not visible.
Right.
So if you've got, for instance, you know, the Lermit syndrome, where you've got pain, sharp pain in the back of the neck when you move your head. You know, it's like electrical shocks down the spine when you look down or up. You need to tell your teacher, because otherwise, you know, you're going to have pains and you can avoid this pose, do something else. So most of the time you can join a class, but you need to tell your teacher, I think. And it's the same for any condition, not just for MS. It's always good to tell your teacher if you've got any specific issue.
No, that makes, I mean, MS, it's also, we all know it as the snowflake disease. Each one of us is different and
different.
Unique in a lot of ways. Mm. So, but you honed in on a very key and critical element, and that is communication. And
yeah.
Regardless of what it is, if it's talking to your yoga teacher, talking to a personal trainer, talking to your doctor, talking to a friend, family,
yeah.
Whoever it is, it's yeah. Being able to effectively communicate, which it can be challenging trying to yeah. Tell people what you're going through. But the more we practice doing that, I feel like the better we equip ourselves to have success.
Yeah. And I mean, at the beginning, I didn't want to tell people I had MS, you know, when I was diagnosed. So I didn't want to tell my teachers neither. So I'm actually saying what I didn't do myself. But then when I became a teacher, I realized, you know, it's like any relationship, as you said, you know, it's like you have to build trust and you need to trust your teacher and vice versa. So it's communication is important, but the same as in at the gym when with your personal trainer, everywhere. Yeah, it's good to communicate and tell what your challenges are. And you'll be surprised how a teacher can then help you and modify the pose and, you know, suggest to use a block or things like that. They make a huge difference.
Mm-hmm.
But you need to say.
So we already talked a little about balance. What about flexibility? Do you have to be flexible in order to enjoy the benefits of yoga? Because if there's anything I am not, it is flexible.
That's, you know, but it's funny because people focus on flexibility, whereas, you know, I am very flexible. I wish I were stronger. Because flexibility is not the what you want to achieve. It's a side effect.
Ah, okay. So there's hope for me, maybe.
yeah. And, you know, it's not necessarily very good to be very flexible. You need to have the right balance. You know, muscles need to be toned and be flexible. That's what they need to be. They don't need to be super, super stretched and flexible neither. It's not good. So it's all a balance. And usually people who are less flexible have better toned muscle, are stronger.
Right.
And then they can do poses that are very challenging for me. You know, like you probably can do arm balancing much better than I can do. Whereas I can probably do a better forward fold than you are. But
I can guarantee that right now.
we need both, you know. And
right.
And the aim of yoga is not to become more flexible. That's a side effect.
Yeah.
The aim of yoga is to feel better.
Yeah,
that's what it is. In your body, between your mind-body connection, to feel more relaxed, to be happier. It's not to be more flexible.
I think one of the keywords you use there too, as well, is balance, and not just physical balance, you know, being able to stand on one foot, but also just balance in life, in all things. Like you talk about the mental, the spiritual, the emotional, the mind, body, and spirit. And I think that would probably be one of those benefits people don't typically think about, right?
Yeah. And when I was diagnosed, I hated the word balance. And I mean, for me, that was, balance equals boring. I don't want to be balanced, please. And now it's one of my favorite. And I think that's exactly it. Yoga brings balance to your life. Mm.
Right. And it just makes sense. I mean, when we see things just physically that are out of balance, it doesn't look right. I mean, we want things to be in straight in line and in order, and it only makes sense that we would want that for ourselves in our lives.
Yeah, and that's something that I got really interested in, kind of the Eastern approach to health and health management, because of their vision of balance and the idea that a disease is basically something that is out of balance.
That's interesting.
And I was told once a story, I hope it's true, but I was told that in China, in traditional China, you only paid your doctor when you were healthy, but you didn't pay the doctor when you were unhealthy, because the role of the doctor was to help you to be balanced. So they would recommend, but they had a vision of very holistic. So they would recommend maybe some massage, some herbal remedies, some exercise like Tai Chi or Qigong. And you had to follow it. So you paid for the doctor to give you these recommendations. If you were unwell, then it's because the doctor didn't give you the right recommendation. So you didn't pay. And I thought, I like this, actually. I like this idea that, you know, I have to be balanced. I have to make sure that my life is balanced, and then I'll be well.
Right.
Okay, the doctors never agree with my vision of paying the doctor or not. But, you know, I think something that is, it's a nice way to see your life, is it's all about bringing back balance.
Exactly. So outside of yoga, what are some of those other holistic health principles that you incorporate as part of a healthy MS minimizing lifestyle?
Well, I follow the Overcoming MS program from Professor Jelinek.
Yes, I've heard of that one. I've actually read the book as well.
Yeah, I started in 2012, and it made a huge difference. Before that, as a yoga teacher, I became a vegetarian, and I thought I was doing quite well, but then I discovered the OMS program and the seafood and the diet, and also the supplementation of vitamin D3, and the importance of meditation and relaxation, plant-based and seafood diet. Sorry, I remember now the term. And I follow that, and I feel so good. I'm healthier now. I'm fitter than I was, 30 years ago. So for me, yoga is crucial, but it's one part
of the puzzle
of the holistic approach. Yeah, I think diet is very, very important. Vitamin D3, sunshine is also very important. Meditation is crucial. Although, I mean, I put meditation together with yoga for me, but you know, also your lifestyle in general. And when you do yoga therapy, actually, if you do one-to-one session, you know, the yoga therapist asks questions, you know, like, how do you sleep? How do you like your work? How is your family supporting you? Or, you know, all these elements that are important.
Right.
Yeah. So I try to bring all these elements together.
Yeah, it is definitely, it is something we always have to continue fine tuning. It doesn't stay in balance permanently if we just set it once. Things are always moving and fluctuating. And that, I think that's why continued and sustained maintenance is also a big component of maintaining that balance.
Yeah. And with, for instance, now the pandemic, it's for all of us. It's still a challenge, something we have to manage. So yeah, it will impact a lot of people health-wise. We need to always be careful. Yeah, it's really hard to keep the balance all the time. So it's like managing, fine-tuning, improving, and be vigilant, always paying attention how you feel.
Definitely. Well, Veronique, what inspired you to start the company Taming the Walrus? And what's the significance of the walrus, if you don't mind me asking?
Oh, I love my walrus. it comes from a dream. And I actually rarely remember my dreams.
Right.
But this one, it's a dream I had before I was officially diagnosed. But I knew, as I said, I knew I would be diagnosed with MS. And before that, I had this amazing dream where in my dream, I was with a friend and in France. And I don't know if you've ever been to France, but, you know, we often have like a garage underneath the house. So it's like in the, And so for some reason, I went into the garage, to the back door. And I entered the big garage and a huge walrus came towards me. And I swear, I hadn't taken any illicit substances. I was completely sane. And so this huge walrus, I mean, was probably like 3 meters high, so something like 10 feet or something.
Had you ever seen a walrus face to face before this?
No.
That's incredible.
But... And so the walrus came kind of wobbling towards me, but with a friendly face, you know, with long eyelashes, like in the, I don't know, in a cartoon, long eyelashes. Yeah. And she had a friendly face, and I knew she was a female for some reason. But, and she came to me and gave me a riddle to solve.
Interesting.
And in my dream, it was absolutely clear that if I solved the riddle, she would move to the side and I could go through the garage and up into the house and, you know, to my friends and everything. But I had to solve the riddle before she moved away. And I woke up, I couldn't remember the riddle, but I thought, oh, this is a dream that matters. It's the only dream in my life that I have that matters. But I thought, actually, if I was asked, to choose an animal to represent MS, I would choose a walrus because it's big, but it doesn't have a, you know, it's kind of, the shape is a little bit vague. It's slow, but big. And also because walrus in French is morse, which is mort, death, and MS. And I thought,
wow.
I think I would choose walrus to represent MS. And then when I decided to have a company to do yoga for MS, the name Taming the Walrus came nearly straight away.
Oh, I can imagine.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. I probably won't ever forget that story now. And anytime I think of an animal that will represent MS, it's going to have to be a walrus.
Yeah. And the good thing is she was really friendly. You know, like she didn't want to scare me. She was like, no, you just need to solve this riddle and then you can live your life. And I think it's so beautiful as a message. You know, it's just, you know, it's so positive. Just, it's a riddle to solve.
Yeah. To destroy us, but something just that we can manage. And if we solve, like you said, solve the riddle, figure out the puzzle, that we can go to where we want to be. That's so cool.
Mm. So that's my walrus.
That's so cool. So what would be your advice to people who haven't tried yoga before, that maybe they're considering now, maybe trying to give it a go? Why should people living with MS be eager to give it that first try?
First, because you've got nothing to lose. And I would say, I really, really cannot think of anybody who felt worse after a yoga class than before.
I would definitely agree. I mean, there's points in time when I'm doing yoga where I'll have to admit there's a lot of pain because I have spasticity, yeah, and it can be very uncomfortable while you're doing it. But just like with almost any workout, when you finish, you just feel so wonderful. Yeah. Feel so wonderful.
Yeah. It's the same as the gym. And I mean, even though I love yoga, there are days when I don't want to do it because I feel, I could be in bed, you know, but I know that I'll feel better afterwards. And that's the truth. I will feel better. And I would say to people who want to try yoga, just give it a try. Contact, you know, see what is available now online because there are many things. Ask the teacher if they think the class is available. Try it. But also be very mindful. It's not a competition. Yoga is not competitive. Mm-hmm. So if you watch a video online and the teacher is doing something, well, just ask yourself, can I do it? Do I feel comfortable doing it? I can give it a try. Don't push yourself too hard, especially if you are doing it on your own at home because now you can't go to a face-to-face class. Just be very mindful and be patient.
Right.
You know, it takes time. It takes time, but it's okay. We've got time.
Yeah.
We've got lots of years. So, you know, and remember the aim is not to be more flexible. The aim is not to do a pose, to achieve a pose. The aim is to feel better. The focus is on the breathing, to breathe with the movements. And, you know, that makes you feel better.
Yeah, I think this, just having getting to talk to you has really improved my mindset because I've always had to, especially starting out the past 3 weeks, it's been very humbling to start yoga and realize how just not flexible I am and how difficult this all is for me. And there's a part of me that's always a competitor that wants to be the best. And
yeah,
focusing instead on just how this can help me and just listening to my body and just accepting where I'm at, I think that'll yield much better results for me.
Yeah. And you will get more flexible. I mean, if you do yoga, you will. But, you know, don't focus on that. Focus on how more balanced you will feel if you, you know, when you inhale, then you the body moves. Like, really the coordination of the breath with the movement is for me, the nicest part of yoga. It's, you know, at one stage you will notice that it's nearly like the breath, the inhale that moves your arms. It's not your arms. It's not a muscular effort. It's more like an energy one.
Right.
And that is absolutely amazing to feel that. But you will get flexible as well.
I'm going to stick with it.
good. I want a weekly report now.
Have the past 20 years of living with MS, have they played out in your mind the way that you had first anticipated? And do you think that yoga has helped you to live well with MS? Can you say that?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I really don't know where I would be without MS. Seriously, I think I wouldn't be in a good place, definitely.
That's amazing to hear you say something like that.
And my life is completely different. I mean, I thought I would by now probably be, you know, miserable in a wheelchair, sad on my own, not working. Because, you know, 20 years ago, that's basically what I was told. My neurologist says, well, you know, you've got relapsing remitting, so you'll be fine. We'll slow down a little bit the progression with medicine, and then maybe in 15 years, 20 years, going to go down. And I'm only going up. I'm only getting better and better. So it's actually exactly the opposite of what I thought it would be like 20 years ago.
That's...
And without yoga, I definitely wouldn't be here this way. No, that's definitely not.
I'm so thankful I have you on the show today because, I mean, I'm sort of in your position where you were 20 years ago, if you think about it. I've only been diagnosed for about a year and a half, and I'm only 28 years old, too. And I've heard those horror stories of, well, just, you know, trying to imagine what 20 years could look like. Like, am I going to be blind? Am I going to be stuck in a wheelchair? And those thoughts, I mean, they can be pretty scary sometimes. But just to see somebody like you who, through yoga and a holistic health strategy to not only be okay, but thrive with MS. That's
really encouraging. And believe me, I'm so much better. I mean, I started running as well. So I ran, last year I ran a half marathon in May. I wanted to do it again this year, but it's canceled. And I had run, so it was my third half marathon. But the second one was really hard, because I had pushed myself too much before. And last year I ran and I was so happy. I didn't have a symptom at all. Wow. I ran 20K, and it was in the south of Portugal, mid-May. So it was like 27 degrees, really, really hot. And I ran and I was fine. And now don't repeat it to anybody, but I'm actually thinking of doing a full marathon one
there
day.
There you go.
So
nobody's going to hear that, so don't worry.
Yeah, good. no, I'm definitely, and I started learning freestyle swim this year.
Wonderful.
Because I could breast swim, but I'm not a great swimmer. So, and I thought I live near the sea, I need to swim. So I'm taking classes as well for freestyle swimming. So I'm doing a lot. I'm very active. I'm working still full time as a learning designer and teaching yoga beside. So definitely you can look forward to your life in 20 years and you'll be still very, very active. You'll still be going to the gym and do everything if you look at your balance, basically.
I think. I just got to keep solving that riddle.
And I've got a motto as well.
Yeah, let's hear it.
Stop being afraid of what could go wrong. Think of what could go right. And I can't remember who it is from because it's not mine. I stole it from someone, but I can't remember who it is. But I love it. I love it.
Right.
Stop being afraid of what could go wrong. Think of what could go right.
It's so simple, but so powerful.
Yeah.
Well, Veronique, this is going to wrap up our show for today. I do just have one last question for you, sort of like two questions, really. But as far as resources are concerned, for people who are listening to the show that maybe they are interested in yoga, what resources do you offer through Taming the Walrus? And do you have any free resources available right now for people to utilize from home while they're stuck in this COVID quarantine?
Yeah. So I've got a YouTube channel, Taming the Walrus, and there are free videos. I also have videos on Vimeo. So on Vimeo, some are paying, but some are also for free. Unfortunately, at the moment, because I'm stuck at home and my internet connection is not really, really good, I can't record more videos because it would take ages to upload. But I have some videos, and also people can really contact me, send me an email to tamingthewalrus@gmail.com. And I'm more than happy to answer questions and suggest anything. I'm not always answering straight away, but I answer always to any query on my by email. So people really shouldn't hesitate to send me an email. But otherwise, look at YouTube and Vimeo. I've got some yoga on the mat and also some chair yoga classes. So, yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah, I'll make sure, Veronique, that I definitely have all those resources, all the information. I'll dig into that, make sure they're attached to the information on this podcast. But Veronique, I just want to thank you so much for being on today's show. I mean, first off, I've got to say that I feel like you were born for yoga. Just the soothing, calming voice that you have is just, it's been very relaxing and refreshing just getting to talk to you. And it's also been just incredibly enlightening to have an expert like yourself share so many valuable insights on how people living with MS can improve their overall health and find balance through something like yoga. So I'm excited to start making some progress on my own yoga journey, and I'm confident that you've inspired many other listeners today to do the same. So with that, Veronique, do you have any closing comments?
No, I'm really, really happy. Thanks so much for inviting me. And yeah, I really recommend to anybody, please try yoga. Just give it a try. As I said, there's nothing to lose, and I'm pretty sure you will feel much better after the class than before. Yeah. Okay. Excellent. And good luck, everybody.
Yes. Yeah. And I can't wait for my next session.
Good. Good.
Well, that's
you.
Yep. Thank you. That's going to wrap it up for this episode. Remember, new episodes of the MS Fitness Challenge podcast are available for download on Apple, Google, Spotify, and Simplecast. A great way you can help and support the MS Fitness Challenge is by sharing, rating, and reviewing this podcast. The more people we can reach, the greater the impact we can have. As we close out, remember to check out MSFitnessChallenge.com. Dig into all the great resources we have for you. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn, and be sure to get plugged into the MS Fitness Challenge Gym Facebook group. The group is as active as ever and will give you the chance to get integrated to a motivated cast of dedicated MS warriors. To all those listening, to all our MS warriors, thank you. Don't give up the fight. Keep pressing, keep striving, and conquer MS.